Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded, the show where we look at brains and brands. We interrogate how people impact brands and brands impact people. A deep look in and at human and brand behavior. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're super excited about today's show. Today we're going to talk the four G spots of transforming your life to increase space for your personal brand. As you know, there will always be things and people holding you back, but most importantly, it's the junk in your own mind holding you back. And today we're going to talk about getting rid of that junk to physically clear up that clutter to grow space for your own personal brand. The story and the narrative in your head needs space. And we have a fabulous guest on the show today named Kate Emerson. I love her brand. Her brand is Live Light, Live Large. And she's a star of a movie now. And she also has two best-selling books out. And she'll be on the line in a moment. But in the meantime, you can follow her on at Kate underscore Emerson, E-M-M-E-R-S-O-N. Or go to her website and check out all her fabulous products, www.kate-emerson.com. At the end of the show, we have Rianette Lebowitz, who is going to give you your cyber health bite to ensure you live healthy online, that you can thrive in that space, and also protect yourself in that space, sponsored by Safety Net. You know, I've been thinking about this show a lot coming into the space and how important it is to be able to thrive and create space in my own mind and make sure that I don't self-sabotage. And I thought about when I moved to South Africa just over 10 years ago, and how much stuff I had to get rid of to clear space for my own brand. And you may be in a space in your life at the beginning of the year, you have all these ideas and all these things you want to do, and you realize that I'm not really getting off the ground. It could be a lot of baggage holding you back. So I was thinking about it myself. I'm like, what are some of the things that I've been able to do to free myself up to be able to live my goals and dreams? And one of the things was, when I was living in New York, I realized that, you know, having a big old Range Rover when I didn't really need it because we used the subway, getting rid of, giving away unnecessary furniture and clothing really helped position me to move to South Africa. And I realized that it was very hard initially because I was attached to it. I was attached to these material things, and, you know, letting go of the fear even and letting go of the unknown was a big part of me making that fundamental shift. And I want to say it was not natural to let go because, you know, if you think about this concept called essence, which is the deeper internal properties of things, we often associate ourselves with the deeper properties inside of things, which is why it's difficult to often let go of. So today's show, we're going to talk and we're going to interrogate what it means to let go. How do you let go? And we're also going to dig into Kate's new movie, The Secrets of the Keys, which she filmed internationally. I think it was somewhere on the West Coast, California. I don't know. We'll talk all about that with Kate coming up in a moment. But I want you to be thinking about a few of the things that you kind of know you should let go of and physically write them down as we have this conversation, because we're going to really get deep. Kate Emerson is known as the Quick Shift Diva. She's an author and life coach, helping people transform their lives with practical advice from clearing the clutter, ditching mental glitches, and now starring in this new movie. And I love her philosophy. I mean, she's got brilliant, simple philosophies about life, and she's got really good energy. And I like people around me with good energy, like Rianette. Rianette is going to be hanging out with us, chatting with us throughout the show before she gives you your cyber health bite as well. Good morning. How are you, Rianette?
I'm blessed. Thank you, Timothy.
Awesome. Your smile is radiating as always. I'm good. I'm really good. You know Kate as
yes.
well, right? Okay,
yes.
Cool. So we're going to have this conversation together. Feel free to jump in with us. We have Kate on the line now. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Morning, Timothy and Rianette. I'm in Cape Town. I'm so excited to be here again. Thank you.
It's really, really awesome, and we're really glad to have you. And that's the one thing we love about this show, is that we can have people on from anywhere around the world. And in fact, part of the success of podcasts is exactly that. In fact, some of my favorite podcasts, people are never actually in the same space. They're just communicating from across borders. So we really, really, we feel like we have you in studio. So, Kate, you know what I'm really excited about?
You tell me, Tim.
I'm excited about the fact that for you to take on this journey of living light and living large, it means that at some point in your life, you must have been heavy and small and that you figured out how to live light and large. Am I right?
But Tim, the glitch, I wrote about my journey of being bulimic as a sort of teenager and early 20-year-old. And absolutely, I was a fairly fat kid. So yeah, you can joke, but it's true.
On so many levels, you know, this idea of holding on to things and how it causes us to live small. Do you feel like that it is we're wired to collect baggage?
You know, I think we're wired to out of insecurity, out of scarcity now, and especially in modern times, it's that essence of consumerism. You know, we're just kind of wired by all of the advertising and all of the shops and just to buy more and, you know, have more and fill our spaces with stuff. And, you know, maybe we can share. I've just taken my message of live light, live large to the nth degree, even for me. I mean, I don't know if you know that we've just entered the year of monkey, and that is literally, you know, monkeys are like, yeah, I can even do the monkey sound.
Okay.
Grab a banana, and this year is all about actually letting go and being flexible, being agile, using that monkey energy. And it's also a 9-year, which is about completion, and completion is about letting go of kind of what's been in your last cycle. So whilst we're I can rabbit on for this for ages, as you know, but whilst we're wired to create and collect stuff, there are also natural kind of rhythms that happen that also really beg us to let go. And this year, our universal key sign is actually begging all of us to do that at some level, which is appropriate for each of us. And it's different.
Okay. Kate, you know what we're going to do? I want to play one of my favorite songs quickly by Erykah Badu called Bag Lady. She's encouraging women to get rid of a lot of baggage. And then we're going to come back with you in a moment. Okay.
Fantastic.
So Erykah Badu begged us to just get rid of our bags, to let go, to free ourselves. And today I'm listening to Erykah, and I'm also listening to Kate Emerson. My name is Timothy Maurice. This is Unbranded. You're listening to the show that looks at interrogating your personal brand and your brand, and then looking at your brain to figure out how we can sort of unpack and really rethink how brands influence us and how we influence brands. So today we're chatting to Kate Emerson about how we physically let go of things. She is the author of 2 best-selling books, and she also helps people write books. So we'll chat to her a little bit more about that after we talk about this sort of freeing and shifting your life and so forth. So Kate, are you there? Can you hear me? Okay. We're getting her back on the line now. But, you know, Rianette, I wanted to chat to you quickly about a couple of times in your life where you realized where I really had to let go of some stuff.
Oh, yes. I think we, like I said earlier, we almost get to that season where you feel ready to let go, whether it's a physical thing or maybe a relationship. And this is where that book, Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud, really helped me a lot. That's one book I always recommend because it's necessary endings, and it's actually good for you to let go.
Okay. But has there been a time when you found it really hard, like really hard? Because, you know, this show, we really unpack and we go a little bit deeper. So I want people, specifically for people listening, even people who download this a bit later, if you're really struggling to let go and you know something is holding you back, if you had one of those moments.
I don't think it held me back, but it was an emotional thing. We had a baby cot in the garage, and, you know, it was always a reminder. Every time I looked at it, I was like, oh, it reminded me of a time in my life that hurt. And we decided to give it away, and we gave a lot of stuff away, a whole baby room, actually. And it was so wonderful because about 2 months later, that couple called us to say that they are expecting a baby now.
Oh, wow.
So it was nice. Really freeing, and also nice to be able to give to someone else.
Nice. If you think about every influential person you can think of, every influential person that you admire and you look up to, they've had to let go. They've had to go through this process. And one of the things I love about about case studies and really studying parallels is that we all go through very similar dynamics. So I think we have Kate back on the line. Hi, Kate.
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Hi. Awesome. So in terms of sort of clearing clutter, was there a moment where you realized that you had to physically start getting rid of stuff if you wanted to move to the next level in your life?
Well, Timothy, I've actually just done exactly that. So when I say the Nth degree, I'm embarking on something called the Minimalist Manifesto. It's kind of going to be the title for a new book. And I've literally packed up and sold virtually every single thing that I own, including books. I'm down to 4 or 5 books that I travel with.
Wow.
And I have... And, you know, you talk about was there a time that was hard. My books were really, really hard for me to do. But I've literally sold everything. I've kept, like, 10 pieces of art that I will maybe one get to another country. You were talking about how you had to let go in New York in order to come here. And I'm kind of doing the same thing because I'm traveling the world to share my message. And I've already embarked on that journey. And I'm down to a suitcase and a hand luggage and a hat. And literally, like, that's it. And I've got one box of stuff for tax. And I've got one box of beautiful little mementos, but it is difficult stuff. And I felt like my clients. I was in my, I had a beautiful little treehouse in Greenside, and I was looking around going, what does all this stuff really mean to me? And I felt like one of my own clients. And I had to kind of call on every single ounce of courage and tenacity and really living my work, because I really do believe it in my core, and I had to enact it. And so books, you know, because I've got so many books that have been gifted to me by the actual authors, that have been signed to me by the authors. And I'm like, I can't put these in my bag, you know, otherwise I'm going to be that bag lady, you know, shuffling around with no energy. And I thought, what am I going to do? And it's that I really did. I struggled and I sat with it and I thought, ah, and everybody's saying, you can't get rid of your book, Kate, you can't. And I'm like, darn, I can. And so what I decided to do was I chose the books that I absolutely need to still read now, because ones that I've read I can reference. And then the precious ones that have been authored, what I did was I actually took a picture of all of those books in the back so that I can always recall the image and the memory and the love in them. That, you know, that's the most thing for me. And then I took a picture of the inscription page that was written to me. And that is going to be an album, you know, that I will then cherish the album of those forever. But Tim and Munich, I mean, it was so, I actually felt a little bit shaky. You know, I had like sweaty palms, and I was like, and then I would give the books away, or people would say, oh, I really want that book. And some people came and bought books, but I could feel like it was terrifying, actually. And I thought, oh my God, am I going to regret it? Because that's often the question is, if I give this away, whatever this is, will I regret it? And will I go, oh, I've made such a mistake, and lament over the fact. And I have never done that. But when you're sitting on this side of should I or shouldn't I, it's so easy to keep it, because you go, no, what if, you know, giving away the baby cot, like what if that doesn't work for you? What if I regret it? And so I think it's knowing when to push through and just go, it's time to be ruthless and a little bit, sometimes relentless, you know, and just gird your loins and go through to the other side, because the space, and the energy and the, you know, I when people see how much stuff I've got now, they go, I can see it inspires them and slightly terrifies them. But it really is liberating. And I think that's the stuff. If you want to be more creative and if you want to create more clients in your life and more energy and abundance and money and traveling and all the things that you say you really want, and I'm talking to every single person out there listening, you can often only manifest that. When I say often, actually you can only manifest that when you are willing to let go of old versions of yourself, or things that represent old versions of yourself, whatever it is. You know, for you it was your landy in New York.
Yes.
You know, if you, you know, and we have to just go, if I want X, what do I have to get rid of now in my life to create
absolutely
for X? Yeah.
So, Kate, you know, this Minimalist Manifesto, I really like this idea. And the manifesto is directly linked with your goals of traveling the world. So I want to make sure people listening are very clear that there's a direct link with letting go and the goals, because minus the Minimalist Manifesto, it'd probably be very difficult for you to travel the world. So before we talk more about that, tell me some of the places you want to go.
So it's also hard. So India is on my agenda for this year to go and co-author another book. I'm going to Romania. I'm going back to Dubai. I'm going to New York for the first time ever. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow.
My book's about to be released internationally. In fact, it'll be in the next 7 days. So I'm going to go and be doing a book tour. I'm going to go to places. I've only been West Coast of America, so I'm going to do the East Coast. And yeah, it's everywhere for me. It's so hard to choose. It's just about where do I go first. So okay. India or America are first. And you travel with all your stuff, you know?
I've got friends in India and Romania that I'm going to hook you up with. There's a woman there who works on the brand Romania who maybe she can help you with your tour. So we're going to talk a bit more about that offline, okay?
Yes, sure.
Awesome. So, you know, the idea that people who tend to collect and hoard a lot are often really poor people. Now, what reason I'm mentioning this is that there's a bizarre irony here that if you go into areas where there's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of things and stuff just stacked around. Is there any correlation there?
Completely, because that links to one of the reasons why we keep stuff is scarcity. So not trusting in the abundance and flow of energy and money. Mm-hmm. And so often when you don't have, of course, you're going to keep every single thing you've got. If you don't know where your next meal's coming from, you're often going to, you know, your body's going to hold whatever it can because you don't know when you're next going to eat. If you've got anything that you can take home, whether it's, you know, extra plastic bags or even if it's empty bottles, it's just showing that I've got something because what if it's taken away from me? And that is very real because it comes from, say, maybe it's ancestral lineage. It's not necessarily always in your current life, but perhaps it can be a family constellation stuff where you've been through complete deprivation, war, famine, drought, being relocated from your country, very real traumatic stuff that can get locked into family history and family cells. And then it's going, it's been so terrifying for me and my family or my culture or my country that I absolutely need to hold on to everything. And it's a deep, deep, deep-seated correlation. But then what happens is needing to learn to trust again and kind of going, sometimes the holding on is the very thing that will stop more coming. I'm goofy as I talk about it. And there's such an interesting thing that comes with that. Whenever I go into like extreme hoarders' homes, one of the things that I've always found is newspapers. And I was kind of pondering this for ages, and I came up with what I think is quite, I need to do some research on it, but it was that thing of, you know, when people are doing like one of those like big diets, you know, where you have to have a picture of a newspaper and you show your weight and your and what you
sure.
look like
yes,
in your bikini
yes.
at that date, and then 3 months later you take another one with a newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, what's that about? And the newspaper proves that you were alive and existed on that day. So it's kind of like, there it is. It's your absolute, resonance with that date in the calendar.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, why? Because literally you're going to people's homes and there are just newspapers and magazines everywhere. And for me, it was that interesting concept that there in time and space in your room is something that proves like you existed on that day. And it almost gives, like, I might not be able to be seen by the world, but I can be seen by the newspaper. If that's making any sense at all, I don't know if it's coming
sure.
out right.
Yes.
But it's almost like if I collect all these newspapers, it's proof that I've been here. It's proof that I've had space on this planet. And
okay.
And how do I take up space on this planet to prove that I have value and worth?
Sure. And what advice do you give to someone who's got the history in that background where, you know, like you said, it might be the way they were brought up, or what do you give to them as advice?
So I think one of the first things that I teach people is actually, it's like Timothy saying about the travel, you know, I can't travel unless I let go of all the stuff. So I always try and create a bigger picture so that they've got something to move towards, because it's terrifying to let go, okay, because that's your entire existence, and it's the stuff that makes you feel comfortable, safe, trustworthy in your space. And so you have to have a bigger reason, a bigger why, something that you are wanting to move towards so you can hold that up as a big intention. Like you could call it a goal, whatever, but you need to have something bigger that you want to shift into so that when you go, oh, I can't let this go, whatever it is, you almost can pitch your sights higher, and it allows the letting go to have a deeper meaning and a purpose. Because nobody likes going through their belongings, kind of go, does this serve me or not?
Yes.
You know, and is this going to add value to my life and do I love it? It's hard work, okay? So the more you've collected, the harder it is to go through it. So I always say get the bigger picture, and I start off with clients with that. What's your intention? What do you want to manifest? I'm letting go of this, whatever this might be for you, in order to create space so that I can manifest my travel, start my business, get that lovely relationship, make my first $100,000, whatever it is.
Okay.
So bigger picture, I think it's like the guiding light that can pull you forward when you're stuck in the hole.
So, Kate, you know, when you're traveling around the world, won't it be difficult to not collect more things, memorabilia? How are you going to deal with that? Because people are going to want to know. People are going to want to know. You were said you were in India. We need to see stuff.
You want to have to do what I do. But in my 20s, I backpacked like a tortoise, everything on my back. And I went through Southeast Asia for 3 months. And you know, that is the day of bus bags and traveler's checks and all of that. And I thought, I have to carry everything on my back. And so I came up with that rule to myself of take one thing from each country and allow the one to epitomize many in terms of a memento, okay? So I talk about collect more memories and experiences rather than mementos and stuff. And I remember I was in Nepal, and on day two, I found this beautiful necklace. And I'm like, okay, Kate, if you buy this necklace today, that's it. Okay, that's your deal for the next 2 weeks that you're here.
I like
that. It really makes you love it even more, as opposed to just, you know, oh, I can buy that. Because so often what we do is we fill our empty space in our heart and our soul by filling the space in our home, okay? And just, so we almost do it's like the opposite, you know what I'm saying? So the empty inside, so let's fill the space outside. So I allow one to be the many. And then also it's about rather taking photographs. But I know there are people out there that love, you know, the tickets from the theater and the bus tickets and the map. Absolutely. So if you want to bring all that home, then my advice to you is then at least respect it. So put it in a beautiful box that you know that's your trip to Dubai or that's your trip to Bali, whatever it is, and put all of the stuff in there so that when you want to go down memory lane, it's not stuck in the back end of your garage underneath all your tools and it's all getting damaged, or you're lugging it around and you go, I don't know where it is. So for me, you don't have to be a minimalist, but at least have respect for the stuff that you're choosing to keep in your life by spending your hard-earned money on it. So yeah, you can bring more than one stuff back, or you can post it home or courier. But for me, it's about, you know, it's about being honest and it's about being truthful to your soul. More than about, I don't care how much stuff you've got and how many shoes or watches or whatever your floats your boat, but it's about energy and resonance and life force.
Sure. I think, you know, the challenge is, and I'm going to challenge you quite a bit, Kate, is that we are a socializing condition, particularly with religions, to hold on to symbols that regulate the seat of our soul. So people often have very specific associations with powerful symbols such as the cross, or if you practice Judaism, you know, the kippah, you know, various religions really promote relationships with objects. And I think, you know, I think that's why there's such a deep, deep connection between things and the history. My grandmother sat on this couch. And what does that mean? And so I like what you said around taking photos, for example, of books when someone signed. Is that one of the first ways, is that take photos of these things and keep stock of it? Or, you know, I want specific things that people can do to be able to let go of the actual symbol and the history, because it's not the thing that they're letting go of, it's the history associated with the thing.
You know what, Tim, but I want to change you back, because if something is adding life force, energy, you love it. When you walk into your home, it lifts your spirit. I don't advocate letting go of that, okay? Remember, I do the nth degree of this. So my thing is, if it's not adding value, and if you walk into your home and you feel like your energy stagnates and constricts and contracts, and you know you're going, oh, I've got too much stuff. So only if it is depleting you would you need to consider it. Absolutely, if you're looking at that cross or that Star of David or that beautiful necklace and you're loving it, and you're appreciating it, and it brings you that life, you keep it. I'm not saying let go of that, because absolutely we need stuff. That I'm tactile, you know, I'm a real tourist. I mean, I shop by feeling things. You know, I'll put fabric between my hands, and there absolutely is a resonance between substance. But I'm an advocate of going, if it's not actually serving you, and you don't need this for the next day, then what do you do? So, yes, it could be a photograph, or yes, it could be minimizing and saying maybe one cross can epitomize the 50 that I've got. But yeah, it's not about letting go of stuff that's important to you at all. Like, I don't ever want to put that message across.
So, okay, but you know, Kate, We, as human beings, do a really great job of justifying what's important when it's not. My mother is perfect for that. She'll be like, look, you wore this T-shirt when you were 9. I'm like, so what, Mom? Get rid of this T-shirt. It's just clogging up the closet. So how do you get people to stop creating these stories in their head that's important?
Yeah, okay. So that's about being honest with yourself, okay, and not buying into other people's stories and not conning yourself. And it's also about, like, if you talk about the stuff, so it's also about going through your stuff, I say annually, because what happens is we almost don't give ourselves permission to change. You know, our tastes change, our loves change, our values to some degree can change when we're getting older and things become more important to us. So every year I go through and go, actually, I don't want this T-shirt anymore. This is not working for me. And so often people hold on to the stuff out of guilt, which is another reason, you know, and that's also very linked to the religious stuff. You know, so I need to hold on to this because my mom wants me to hold on to it. So we carry stuff, a legacy, and going, actually, Mom, I don't want this anymore. So, yeah, you can have it back, Mom, if you want my T-shirt that I wore when I was 9 years old. But actually, I'm not keeping it anymore. And it's that. It's actually about standing in your power as a human being if you want to be empowered and magnificent and shine in your life.
Okay.
And not buying into other people's stories of what you should keep. Because, I mean, I had that recently when I was packing up. Somebody rings me and says, well, are you giving away that rug I gave you last year for your birthday? I'm like, yep, it's already gone. And I could hear them on the other end kind of, and I'm like, when you give something, give it with love and give it with your whole heart and don't be attached to what people do with stuff that you have given to them. And it's just about, it's about getting real and being authentic and being 100% honest and working at an emotional level with the emotional clutter around the guilt and the insecurity and the scarcity.
Got it.
So don't buy other people's stories.
Okay. Kate, you know, we have Kate Emerson on the line, and we're talking, you know, sort of the 4 G-spots of transforming your life. We hadn't gotten to the G-spots, but we're talking about transforming your life to sort of expose yourself to opportunities to help grow yourself and free yourself so that you can grow yourself. And we're going to spend the next sort of 20 minutes or 25 minutes talking about these G-spots and your new movie. You know, I read recently online that this idea of the G-spot, scientists are not even sure if there is such thing as a G-spot, and it's causing so much stress. Are you saying you found your G-spot?
Tim, we cannot talk about that on air. Come on.
No, you said it. It's on your website. You said you got 4 of them.
I have 4 G-spots. Yeah. I believe there's about 8 if you can find it. You know what? I studied tantric sex. We're not going to have that conversation.
Okay.
But you know what? I did it. I did it to be a little controversial because people go, oh, that's so cool. The 4 G-spots of transformation. It's just about taking my work and what I really know and resonate with and kind of just, you know, changing it up a little bit and being a little bit cheeky. And so people go, what do you mean the 4 G-spots? So it just makes people go and watch the videos and sign up for the free course and give them something to talk about. You know?
Wait. You studied tantric sex? We never talked about that. We're going to have a whole nother show with you on about this stuff. Anyway.
A whole nother show.
Yeah.
Let's come back to these 4.
Yeah, let's talk about these 4 G-spots of how people can, you know, what are these G-spots?
You know, Tim, when I studied to become a professional life coach, that was 2003. It's the process that I always go back to. So it was what I first learned as a coach. And people call it wheel of life, cycle life. But what I did was I took kind of the obvious thing that I always do, and I go, what is the commonality? So the 4 G-spots are grip, grow, gap, and gut. And I don't think I can say that too quickly because it'll come out garbled. And it's literally a step-by-step process of going, if I want to shift and just change my life a notch, I talk about small tweaks for big leaps. And it's just teaching people the kind of that basics. When I say simplistic, but it can have profound results. So getting to grips is literally about that honesty we spoke about. It's really taking stock of your life. Because often people are just so busy or they're wearing masks or overwhelmed and just don't have any space. And they forget to go, how am I actually doing? And, you know, and using that, it's such an obvious analogy, but people forget it. You know, we get into our cars, so, you know, you left your Landy in New York, I don't know what you drive here, but we get into our cars and we switch it on and boom, that GPS kicks in. And what we forget is that before we plug in the new coordinate, we forget the process that happens called triangulation. And triangulation is the term for when the GPS goes, hey, I'm on, where am I? Okay, not yeah, I'm turned on to really go back to G spot. But what happens is your GPS has to go, where am I currently? But we're so busy sometimes focused on just turning on the GPS and going, where do I want to go? But it can't get to where it's going until it knows where it is now. It needs a point of reference. So that's what getting to grips is. It's looking at your life, warts and all, whatever it is, and just going, how am I doing? So on the series that's on my website, I look to teach people about the cycle of life on the video and the different eight different areas and how to just do a little stock take, which you go, okay, here's my starting point. And it's almost letting go of the judgment. It's not going, it's good or bad. It's just a heads up, what's up, where am I?
That's and sometimes, to grip. And I'm imagining sometimes that's really hard. I know that when you have to look in the mirror and go, I'm actually lost, or I'm actually in a place where I really don't want to be. You know, one of my early goals was to also travel the world, and having now worked on every continent except for Antarctica, when I look back and I think about having to take reference and stock and where I was in this moment, it was terrifying to actually start mapping my goal. And are you in that space now a little bit where you're thinking about you're going to share your message around the world? Are you feeling a little anxious about where you are in this first G?
Completely. Because I've had to look at, okay, so what do I need with me now? What I need to travel with? What is my message? How am I going to do it? How do I earn cash flow?
Yes.
Absolutely. And there's times, I mean, when I just moved out my home, that first weekend, I was a bit of a wreck. You know, I was feeling vulnerable, scared. It's not. So I think sometimes people look at us and go, oh, they make it look so easy. You've got to go through the emotions. There is no shortcut.
Okay. Cool.
Okay? So it's about acknowledging that. That's what it is for me, of going, no, this area in my life, I mean, I had a realization last year that I was really busy and I was also feeling a little bit bored. And that's a really weird thing for me to admit to myself, you know, because we are, so most of us are so busy. And when busyness kind of fills the space, so that our soul can't speak to us. Mm-hmm. And I was going, I need a bigger adventure. And I don't just mean, you know, tripping around the world, you know, backpacking. I'm talking about my soul needs a bigger adventure. But when I was looking at the getting to grip, you really have to, it's like taking that truth serum and go, this is working, fantastic. This is really shoddy. What do I want to do about it? Or even just going, okay, it's shoddy, but I don't want to do anything about it right now. That can also be empowering. The moment you often just put it down on paper and acknowledge it, it can take a lot of the overwhelm or the fear out of it. It's like, it deflates the monster a little bit.
Got it.
And often people say, even though I've just done it, even though I might not love everything that I'm looking at now, given that now that I'm to grip, I feel like I've taken a massive step. It's like you can take a deep breath and go, okay, maybe I can deal with this now. Because up until that point, it's just we're often just conning ourselves and we're in that sort of vapid state.
Okay, is the second G?
So the second G is, so that's then looking at, okay, now I know where I am, where do I want to go? And so when I start people up on this process, I say, just look at, do you have to do big picture? Because sometimes we just need to get a little bit of momentum going so that we start the ball rolling, you know, and you exercise that muscle. So you don't have to necessarily like change your entire life, because I think a lot of people just feel that that's too much. So I go, what about just looking 2 weeks down the line? And if you could look 2 weeks down the line, what would be the one area of your life that you would like to shift a notch? And people go, oh, okay, I can do that.
Got
it. So it's looking at what might I want to change without having to think about shifting everything, or suddenly saying, oh, I'm resigning from my job, or I'm getting divorced, or I'm getting married, or I'm packing up my house. Or you don't have to do big stuff to make massive changes. Just start small and nudge yourself along that path.
Awesome.
So I go, 2 weeks, what's the one area? And people often come back to me, well, okay, I have to change anything. I'm like, no. Let's just start with one. The power of one is profound.
Got it. Number three?
Okay. Number three is gap. So then you've got to look at, okay, so where am I now? Where do I want to go? Right. Then that's just looking at what's the hole and what do I need to do to bridge that gap? So that becomes a little bit more practical about steps. So if we talk about, okay, I know I need to put new pictures up on my website because I need to work on my brand. So then the gap would be, okay, so maybe I need to find a photographer. That's the first trick. Then I need to ask for some recommendations. Then I need to think about my wardrobe. Oh, I don't like shopping. My best friend loves shopping. So you look at what are some of the little steps along the way that will get you to have the new pictures up on your website, for example.
Got it.
So that's just look at very closing simple. The gap. Yeah. And then the last one is one of my favorites. So that's guts. So often people go, yeah, I'm wanting to spew my guts because I'm terrified of this idea of change. And I go, no, it's not that. One of the things I have learned, so yeah, I mean, Tim and Leonard, I'm sure you resonate with this. Well, I'm assuming you do, is how do we ask for help? And that takes guts. It's like, who's already doing what I want to do? Can I ask them to help me? And it really does take guts and courage to speak up and say, this is what I'm shifting. This is where I am. This is where I want to go. Can you help me? Or can you just support me? Or can I be accountable to you? Because one of the biggest ways I've learned to shift is to have some cheerleaders, have a support team, have one person, have a group. It's not always your mother or your lover or your sister or your kids. It's sometimes it's just another person out there. So one of the things that I love to do is build community. So when anybody is doing one of my courses, whether it's my 3-4 G-Spots course, I say, come online to the Facebook group and tell us what you're shifting. Because the moment that you put it out there, it can be to a bunch of strangers on a Facebook group, but you start giving it power.
Yes.
And you start giving it some attention. And you start committing your word to other people. So often if you keep it internal, you know, you're not actually saying, I'm doing this. And the moment you say, I'm doing this, you start giving it almost like an additional boost from the universe. Because now you've put your word on the line. And so you have to stand up for yourself again. And you have to go, I've done it. And so that guts to ask for support for me is one of the surefire ways that I have learned to use to shift my life in a bigger and bigger way. So have the guts to ask for support and help from the right people.
Okay.
The wonderful thing about these four G-spots and being able to sort of engage you is that even though you're going to be traveling the world, you do work online and you engage people on sort of webinars and so forth. Will you still be doing this?
Look, even more so, Tim. So that was my big vision when I started this coaching business was I wanted to, you know, I had this vision of sitting on a mountaintop with my laptop. And here I am sitting at the base of the mountain with my laptop, you know, and it's hard to, because that's the joy of the digital age now. And then wherever I am, I am. If somebody wants to see me right now, I'm in Cape Town. But, you know, you can access me and I can access you and we can be anywhere in the world. I mean, I coach clients in the Middle East and Greece and London and Scotland and America, and it's beautiful. We can connect. I mean, that is the joy of the global village right now and of the communication. And, you know, it also brings up a whole other world about digital clutter, which is another whole conversation. But absolutely, I'm going to be working more and more online, but also working more and more with video. Because I think, you know, people connect. When I'm wanting to learn something, I like being able to see someone's face. So
yes.
I love the medium of video and podcasts and whatever medium we can use to access each other. And, you know, now there is this exponential shift in how many billions of people are coming online, you know,
yes.
in the next couple of years.
Absolutely.
And if we're actually not in the online game, I think that our businesses are really going to stagnate and struggle.
But just another G you can add is global.
There we go. Look at that. I've written it down right now.
There you go. There's so
global.
Much you could do with that.
Okay, Kate.
Global.
Kate,
yes.
So I want to take the last few minutes and focus on the fact that you basically raise crowdfunding and you found yourself in this movie. You had this goal. You set out this intention of being in this movie, The Secrets of the Keys. I want people to understand the real value of this because, you know, watching, you know, bits and pieces of it and excerpts online, there's so much value in this. So just tell us from the beginning, what is The Secrets of the Keys and how many keys are there?
Great. So The Secrets of the Keys is a great, it's a really transformational movie that goes through seven keys, which are really like triggers that you can use, like shortcuts on your desktop. And there are appreciation, courage, empathy, faith, harmony, passion, and vibration. And
wow.
So in this movie, it's a, yeah, that, and all of them, I know just as you know, all the listeners have heard those words, people have different sort of understanding of those words and how they land for them in their body. And sometimes people go, oh, but there's seven. That can also feel too overwhelming. And you can pick one key, you know, and work and go, okay, what's the one key I need to shift first or access its energy so that I can start shifting my life? And, you know, so you could start with vibration, which would be linking into the clutter. So how do I let go of the stuff that's not adding, you know, a higher vibration to my life and my home and my business? And how do I work with that? Or you could start with appreciation and working with gratitude. So it doesn't matter where you start. It just matters that you do start with one of them. And so this movie is, you know, a lot of people, if you go back in time, watch The Secret, There's a couple of movies that came out, and a lot of those were considered what we call talking head documentaries. And so The Secret of the Keys is a full-length feature film, except it was shot on set in Vegas, in Las Vegas, of all places, in the desert and on the beach in San Diego. And it really is it's a story, and it's based on the producer's life. And so she was diagnosed and gets a call from her doctor and not given long to live. And so it's a story that people will resonate about, you know, when we're given bad news, whether it's for ourselves or our loved ones and we're going through a really tough time. And what are the keys that we can access that can help us remember who we really are and what really matters. And so the film is filled with some real, like, big stars like Brian Tracy, John Osterhoff, Michael Beckwith, Daniel Brinkley, and a whole host of experts from around the world. I'm the only one that was invited from South Africa. And it's people sharing their stories and imparting their wisdom. And so what I always suggest is that you watch the movie full length, first time round. And yeah, I'm doing screenings in people's homes, so people are inviting their book club or their friends or their colleagues, and we can do corporate screenings. So watch it all the way through. And then go back and go, okay, I need to watch that piece, because that's the piece that I really need to work with. That's the piece that can help me shift and grow first. And so you can reference it like you would a book. So it's just a beautiful story based on facts, and yeah, filled with gems and gems of wisdom and practical help and advice.
And you can go to your website, www.kate-emerson.com, and you can actually get a DVD series around it to actually go through the process as well, right?
Yes, so people can purchase the whole DVD, and in South Africa, I'll courier it. People overseas can go to the Key Movies and go and purchase it from America. I'll courier the DVD to them, and you can watch it in your own home and invite your friends and come back to me and ask questions or engage with me online. And yeah, and you can obviously go and follow all of the other experts that are in there, so the ones that you're drawn to or you love their story. You know, there's William, that his parents fled from Vietnam and went to Canada, and there's just all these amazing stories and people that you can follow so that it shifts your life.
What I like about you, well, there's a lot I like about you, but one of the things that I really appreciate deeply is the fact that you're living specifically what you are, you know, you're teaching. And the fact that you go big and you want to live large. Your brand is Living Light, Living Large. And going to Vegas and being a part of this film is a big deal. And just take us back to where you decided that I want to experience this. And the first thought and the process of getting to Vegas.
It was just a whole wonderful series of synchronistic events. And you know, I have to go back. I mean, being in a movie was never on my radar. Writing more books was on my radar. A TV show was on my radar. In my wildest dreams, I hadn't thought about a movie. And I shared my message over 3 minutes with this woman. We were at a conference of Brendan Bashar's, who's a guy that I follow deeply. And we just had this moment. And there was this whole story. And 2 days later, at this conference, I landed up sitting behind her. And 2 hours later, she turns on and she goes, oh, my God, there you are, Kate. I've been looking for you for 2 days. I wanted to know if you'd be in my movie. And as she said that, like, I just went, like, cold, but in the best way, and got goosebumps. And I was need to do this. And it was just that my soul said yes. You know, then the mind talk kicked in. Oh, how am I going to do it? It's Vegas. It's a movie. Who the hell am I? What can I do? How do I get back there? And all the stuff then came in. But I always then linked it to like opportunity and brand. You know, that's your baby, you know, some brand. And who am I? And learning that the more I step up and I step out into the world, and you do that by stepping in and knowing who you are, but the more I do that and the more I claim who I really am, and I mean that authentically rather than egotistically, the more people I can reach. So if I really do believe my message and I believe the power of it, which I do, I've got to be willing to go bigger. And that can also be terrifying, you know, because sometimes it's a whole lot more fun to play small and stay stuck in our comfort zone. So sometimes one of the ways to get through the fear is to link it again to that bigger picture. So, okay, and here's this opportunity, and it was just, okay, how do I do this? And it was I'm sitting here with goosebumps now. How do I make this happen? And so then it was just, you know, one step in front of the other. What's the gap? Where am I now? Where do I need to be? And applying the 4G spot. And really the guts of asking for help, because I absolutely didn't do it on my own. And that was a massive one, of putting it out and just getting so much support and love from people going, yes, you can do this.
You know, Kate, your quick shift principles of, you know, really understanding space, living light, being authentic, courageous, insightful, funky, energized, having clarity, all these things really do resonate with me deeply, especially because, you know, a brand really is a narrative that's positioned in the mind of key mm-hmm. stakeholders. And your narrative in your own head, I mean, you fought. I can feel it. You've really fought to get to a space where you can be, you can create this space. And, you know, when people go to your site and they read your books, Clear Your Clutter, Ditch Your Glitch, they engage with you online, any of your consultations, your products, I really genuinely feel that they will be sort of transformed and they will be able to create space to grow their brand. Is there any final sort of message you want to leave? Give us like 45 seconds of some really good stuff at the base of your mountain, wherever you are.
So, yeah, I've really learned, start small so that you can end tall. Okay, so don't be scared to just go, what's the next little step I need to do? One of the things I've really had to learn is boundaries. I've found that really hard kind of growing up. What do I say yes to and what do I say no to? And that, for me, is one of the biggest things you need to declutter. Sometimes you've got to declutter the projects in your life so you can focus on the ones that really matter. And so learn to say no, men and women alike. And sometimes no is a complete sentence. And, yeah, you know, there's a Chinese proverb that goes, let go or be dragged. And that's the Zen proverb. And, yeah, it's just be brave. You know, tomorrow isn't promised to no one. And if you don't actually, like, take yourself and haul yourself up by your own trousers, no one can do it for you. No one can do your push-ups for you. So one of my favorite sayings by Zig Ziglar is, you don't have to be great at the start, but you have to start to be great.
Wow.
Just get out there and give it all you've got. Give it horns, you know, ask for help. People, I think people are always willing to help us along our journey. We've got to get out of our own way and be willing to ask and say, imagine what would happen if I just lived my truth and lived my authenticity and shared my message. And yeah, and stop being, sometimes when we don't share our message, we're being selfish. So get over yourself, you know, do what you need to do to get over yourself, get out there, share your message. Live your truth. Don't be bogged down by other people's opinions of who they think you are, who you need to be. Just be brave, like, really. And, yeah, the French word cœur gave us courage, you know. So, and cœur means heart. So how do you follow your heart? And one of the things I do collect that is something I've kept in my little box of mementos is heart-shaped rocks. So whenever I walk on the beach around the world, I find beautiful heart-shaped rocks on the beach, natural rocks. And I picked one up the other day at the West Coast Lagoon, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I loved it, and I took a photo of it in my mind's eye, and I put it back on the beach. I'm like, okay, I didn't need to take you with me. So just follow your heart. Wherever you are, follow your bliss, follow your heart, and know that you can do it one little step at a time.
Thank you so much. That's Kate Emerson, and you can go to her website, www.kate-emerson.com. I'm sure she's going to be blogging about her trip around the world, and you can connect with her and be inspired by the fact that she is living the four G-spots, which are come to grips with where you are, be prepared to grow, identify the gaps, and go with guts. Thank you so much, Kate.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much, Tim and Mariette. Have a beautiful day.
You
Thank
too.
You. Enjoy Bye-bye. Your journey.
Thank you.
As we shift now to Cyber Health feature, we've got a quick ad and we'll be right back with Rianette Lebowitz.
When you're in the back seat with four multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
We have all given the special lady in our lives a gift that she might not have loved as much as we expected she would. Don't leave it to chance this Valentine's Day. Spoil her with a genuine piece of Pandora jewelry. A unique gift that she will cherish forever from only 399 Rand. Visit Pandora.net to locate your nearest store or follow them on Facebook at Pandora South Africa and take the guesswork out of gifting.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, thank you so much for joining me, Rianette Leibowitz from SafetyNet, for this Cyber Health Bite. And today is a fantastic day to join us because it's Safer Internet Day. Today, 9 February 2016, is Safer Internet Day, which has been celebrated since 2004. And it falls on the second day of the second month, or the second week of the second month. And it seeks to promote safer and more responsible use of online technologies, especially amongst the youth. And we're talking about children, and the theme for this year is play your part for a better internet. So let's use this opportunity to do what we can as individuals, and maybe challenge your colleagues and friends to engage responsibly. So Safer Internet Day, and the hashtag is SID2016, is a global event organized by InSafe, and it's held over 100 countries annually. This year, more than 67,000 young people and over 463 schools and organizations will celebrate Safer Internet Day. So locally, SafetyNet is involved in the Web Rangers campaign in partnership with Media Monitoring South Africa, Google South Africa, and the Film Publication Board, which is a new initiative championed by children to promote online safety. And I cannot wait to go and engage with them later today. And I want to challenge us all as adults. We can add value by ensuring we do not open potentially harmful mails, for instance, to infect other people's machines. And think about the Trojans, and don't be one of the victims of a phishing scam, because it will impact so many other lives. Then do not share your personal information with the wrong sources. And let's remember, you can also play your part by being careful with the content you post online. Think about it. Is it true? Is it helpful? Will it actually add value and make a positive contribution to the people you share it with? So let's be responsible with our fingerprints. Remember, it's with our fingers that we can either make someone's day or hurt their feelings. And please join us on SafetyNet's Facebook page. It's SAVETNet.com. All the best.
Thank you so much, Rianette. And as always, we'll be back next week chatting unbranded, going behind the scenes, looking at how your brain and your brand impact each other. Thanks again to Kate Emerson. Please check her out. Follow her journey as she continues to inspire people to live light, live large. That's me. I'm out. Timothy Maurice.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.